Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions.
All pilots to your station.
You ready?
Let's do this. Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck. Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't have anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Modders.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
Welcome back, everybody, to Resistance Reactions, the show where Coffee with Kenobi takes a fun and analytical look at the new Star Wars animated show, Star Wars Resistance. We got a fun show today that we're going to discuss. We discussed the Children from Tehar. Children from Tehar. So we got that episode we're going to be reviewing and discussing today. And, of course, I am one half of your hosting crew. I am Aaron Harris, and joining me is my brother from another mother, David Modders. David, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Ready to fly, as always. How you doing over there?
Oh, I can't complain. We are doing good. So, looking forward to discussing this episode. I mean, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So you've had a eventful week. I heard you said that you had done a marathon or half marathon.
Yeah. I went up to Savannah, Georgia, and my goal was to get a half marathon down, 13.1 miles. And I think, like I was tweeting with you, and texting with you, that I think mile six, my legs just, they just died on me. So the last 7 miles was kind of a walk, jog, run kind of thing. But I got across that finish line, so I was really glad. And then the next day, the next morning, I was half, alive after it, but I had to turn on Star Wars Resistance and watched this episode for the first time. And so I watched it two more times, and but Resistance got me through it on Sunday. I was hurting, but this episode got me my mind off my body, basically.
Well, I can definitely understand that. You sent me the message that you had run the marathon, and I'm sitting, or the half marathon, and I'm sitting there. I got the message, and I was sitting in a Olive Garden gorging myself on Never Ending Pasta Bowl.
Oh my gosh.
So you're out working out, and I'm out not working out.
Well, like you and I said, we gotta do a Star Wars run down at Disney. We'll figure one out. There's a lot of options: 5K, 10K, that kind of stuff. I think that's what I'll go back to, because it's if you think about it, Aaron, the 26.2. When you start running that far, you're really just, That's hurting your body at that point. But right at 13 miles, that was enough. I don't think I'm gonna. I don't know if I'm gonna do it again. I might, but I'd like to run with you. I'd like to do a Disney run with you. Yeah.
I tried to sign up this time, but they said I was too old for the Padawan run.
So I could do that. We did the 5K at the first Star Wars run. I think it was in 2016. So the last 2 years I haven't been there, but they got options. We could do a 5K. We could do a 10K. Just have fun. And,
Something we'll have to discuss and plan out. Maybe it's something we can work on. That's too late for this year, but maybe next year we can, make some plans and get that done.
Yeah. How was your week? You had a good week?
Pretty uneventful. Just work, play. Not much going on on this end. The day we're recording this on November 6th, so I did get out and vote today. So
good. I did too.
And definitely recommend that to anybody out there. By the time you hear this, election will be over. But wherever you are around the world, when you get the chance to vote, make your voice heard. It's always, don't let anybody ever tell you that your vote doesn't matter, because it truly does. So that was our PSA for the day. And let's go ahead and talk some Star Wars. David, you ready?
I'm ready, buddy.
All right, that went perfect. Let's try that again. That's called I Did Not Unmute the Channel, folks.
I love it when you put that in, though. It's so cool.
It's so much fun. Yeah. I'm having too much fun with technology nowadays. I'm able to get stuff sliced up, cut up, and put into the mix, which makes the show so much more fun. Wish I'd have figured out how to do this for Rebels as well, and I'd have had too much fun there. But the way this is going, I'm having way too much fun now. So too much fun, that's not a problem.
No, you would have been having all kinds of excitement doing Zeb quotes and Carabas. We would have been throwing that in all the time. And during Rebel.
That's what I need to add to my library is Carabast.
Yeah. We can pull it over here. Pull it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to tweet Justin Ridge and say, hey, just please, at one point, have somebody say Carabast. Just once.
Exactly.
Just once. Please.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and discuss The Children of Tehar, which was the episode that aired this week. Great episode. Basically, we have Kaz, who needs to make some money quick because he broke a piece of the fireball, and Tam is out for blood, and he promised to get it fixed. So he goes out to try to find these two kids who apparently have a 20,000 credit bounty on their heads to be found and returned. So he goes out and tries to search. Lo and behold, through the adventures, he finds out that it's the First Order who has put the bounty on their heads. And, of course, now he's trying to save the kids rather than collect the bounty. Lots of fun, lots of excitement. And, of course, it ends up with Kaz, of course, saving the kids. And we get to see and saving the day. Overall, David, opening thoughts. What are your first opening thoughts on this episode of Resistance?
Oh, definitely. You know, taking all these episodes together, you and I have covered all of them so far. And, you know, if you look at the episode guide at StarWars.com, this is called Episode 6, right? And you and I have talked about just how you count it. Do you count the first one as 2 or 1? They've kind of changed it now, and they're considering that 2 episodes. So this is Episode 6 in the guide. And the reason why I bring that up is because one of the things that you and I have heard online, and I've heard a few other podcasts talking about this, is this, you know, they said, is this going to be just a bunch of kiddie stuff? And this isn't my cup of tea. And you and I have said from the very start to be patient with this, give it some time, just like with Rebels, just like with Clone Wars. If you're patient with it, let it grow, let it breathe, you're going to be pleased. You probably will be as a Star Wars fan. And that's exactly what I was thinking after I've watched this, is that, you know, one of the concerns was, you know, will it, I don't know, do we use the word dark? Will it get more serious? And it clearly did in this. You know, when they're talking, when Kaz is, and Neeku are talking to Kel and Ayla, you know, she's saying, you know, our parents are gone. The villagers are all gone. Even Kel says, you know, I think a small army came with Kylo Ren. And a little bit later, Ayla says, you know, they took away our home. And of course, the other fact is there's a bounty on their head. Something that you and I are going to cover in a little bit is that conversation between Captain Phasma and Commander Pyre. I don't know if kids are going to understand that conversation, but that was some serious stuff. That's literally perhaps, you know, the destruction of an entire people group, you know, genocide of the people of Tehar. And we can talk about that a little bit. So again, stuff for us adults, filling in the story. I've wanted to know this. It looks like they're kind of going to flush this out. I guess Kylo Ren didn't just go to Jakku and destroy that village. It sounds like he's been to many other places as well. Another initial thought, Captain Doza looks like he's trying to stay in the good graces with Captain Phasma, not accept the offer, which was, you know, for them to protect them from the pirates. But he's trying to stay in her good graces. And two other little subtle initial thoughts. One is, you know, is there something special about Kel? You know, when Kaz was trying to lift that grate, he was struggling mightily, and then Kel just went over and lifted it. And I don't know, again, if a lot of kids noticed that. I did, you know, kind of, you know, Kaz kind of looks at him and is like, oh, yeah, right. You know, kind of embarrassing that this younger kid just immediately pulls this very heavy grate up. It's just subtle. Maybe there's nothing there. Maybe I'm reading into it. And the other thing is another little subtle thing. Do you notice the Hoth trooper was like everywhere? Kaz goes into the bar, sitting there. They're running from the First Order, and Commander Pyre was there. He got bowled over by one of the stormtroopers. And I'm in my head, I'm like, is this just background characters, or are we kind of hinting at a possible spy? You know, he's everywhere, you know, they were in this episode. Just a little subtle thing I was looking at. Maybe it's nothing. But just thought I would throw it out there for people listening to just keep an eye out for that. So just some of my initial thoughts.
Great thoughts, David. Great thoughts. To go to the great scene for a moment that you mentioned, I saw it a little differently. Because if you're watching the scene, when he initially bends down and starts pulling on it to try to get up and it's not moving, you see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle standing there, and you see his hand slowly go up and start pointing to the other side. Kaz was trying to open it from the wrong side.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And the kid ran around and opened it up, and that's why Kaz was embarrassed. Oh. Because he realized, oh, wait, no, I was doing this wrong.
Okay. See, that's why I asked. Did I see it right? So there's a little subtlety. You saw I did not see one of the shell folk. Point over there. Okay, good catch, brother.
Yep. Leonardo just slowly lifted up his hand, was pointing to the other side, and he had this grin on his face like, you idiot. Wrong side.
Oh, gosh. So, okay.
But overall, I thoroughly enjoyed this episode, and you hit the nail on the head. This show is getting better and better with each episode, and there are a lot of people out there that are still saying, no, this is not my cup of tea. It's a kid's show, blah, blah. And they haven't watched anything past The Recruit. And I'm like, dude, you don't know what you're missing. This is something that is just all around a great show. And it's getting better and better and better with each passing episode. And this is starting to launch it off into a new direction. We're starting to find out more and more about this timeline. I mean, outside of a couple books and two movies, we know nothing about this sequel timeline.
Exactly. That's why I was telling you on a previous episode, you know, we were talking about the stack of books that you and I are trying to catch up on. You know, I've heard Dan a couple times now on the main show, the Coffee with Kenobi main show, talk about Bloodline. In fact, they were doing their top five books, him and Tom Gross. Mm-hmm. And I think Dan put Bloodline at number two, I think. And that's why I told you I had stopped Thrawn Alliances and I jumped over to that, particularly because you and I are doing Resistance. So I wanted to read it concurrently as you and I watch and review these episodes of Resistance. And consistent with what you said, Aaron, I really want to learn more about this timeline. And Dan said that, you know, Bloodline really helps you to understand some of the demilitarization of, you know, the new. Exactly. And so that's kind of why you see you know, Kaz the way he is. You don't have this really full-fledged rebel navy, rebel fleet. And so it really starts to make sense why they're presenting Kaz this way. So it's coming together. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, well, absolutely. It's coming together, and it's we're starting to see pieces start to form and where they can start fitting together. And I absolutely have been flabbergasted and been in awe of the show. I mean, this has been phenomenal to enjoy going forward. And this episode, I mean, I just there's just no way to avoid it. Let's get right into it. I mean, we see, of course, Tam and Kaz get into it again, basically about this part that he broke, which is what led him to go on this mission to try to find these kids, because he needed money to replace the part. Now, it's funny how he just kind of got that mission. He just overheard somebody else, two other guys, talking about it in the bar, or Aunt Z's, discussing the reward and everything. And he's like, you know what? I can get this. This will be great. I can help them get this reward. I'll return up the kids by getting them back where they belong, and I'll be 20,000 credits richer and be able to get this part. Nothing ever goes the way Kaz wants it. Now, when he was getting the mission, he noticed something right off the bat on the hologram. Was on the little boy's arm, there was a insignia, a logo. And of course, he didn't recognize it. He asked Nico. Nico's like, I don't recognize it. Then, of course, when he does bump into the kids at the at one point, the logo falls off, and he winds up keeping it. He gets summoned to Doza's, shows Doza. Doza doesn't, if he knows what it is, he's not saying. What do you think the significance of this logo is?
Yeah, this is what's tough. And I'm curious to see, you know, what they do with this. Because, you know, like you and I talked earlier, you know, apparently Tahar is out in the unknown regions. Kind of what, you know, Eloasti even at the end of the episode did not know he did not heard of it. And so, again, we know from little bits and clues that the First Order was hiding out in the unknown regions, developing their war machine. And so I wonder if, you know, again, maybe out there we've got the classic example of what we've seen in many of the Star Wars novels, which is Tahar could be a planet out there in the unknown regions, not known by many people. Even Captain Phasma is talking to Commander Pyre about that and how they can continue their mission, which is to build this war machine and to take over. And so you wonder if it's a planet that they just stripped of all types of materials, right? That's what we've seen in a lot of the novels. Ahsoka novel, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. It's this constant process, even on maybe Batuu and stuff, but this constant process of the Empire, the First Order following suit. You know, that's what I wonder, if it's more of a planet that they just don't want anybody to think about and know that they've destroyed, took all the materials, helped them to, you know, at least build the fleet that we start to see in The Force Awakens and in The Last Jedi. So, you know, I do wonder about that. I'm sure there's probably more of a significance in some way. I'm not sure. But, you know, again, the sense I get is, you know, the importance of a people group and here's the First Order not caring. So, I don't know. Any thoughts that you have on that insignia?
You know, it's obviously it's something that I think we're going to find out as time goes on what it means. I think it probably has something to do with their planet and kind of almost like an ID from their planet, something unique to that, that they're going to want to First Order's going to want to quell. Obviously, they don't want it getting out what they've done.
Right.
Comes to the conversation that Pyre and Phasma have, which we'll discuss here shortly. But I think it's more of an idea of who they are, as to it's almost like a family crest or family logo per se, and it has. We'll find out more of who they are as time goes on. Because, I mean, if you've seen this show. If you're listening to this, you've seen the show. Of course, they do survive and they wind up staying on the Colossus. So I got a feeling we're going to see more of these kids as time goes on, because I got a feeling it's going to come out that the kids are still alive, and it's going to be a point of contention between Kaz and, of course, the First Order, as the First Order keeps coming back to try to locate these kids.
I love what you said, because that's kind of like what Filoni used to do. I'm sure Justin Ridge is doing the same thing, setting the stage for future episodes, stuff they might even pull into season two, have the kids show up again then, maybe even like this season in season one. But yes, I agree. Just setting the stage, helping young kids. They showed that symbol a bunch of times, I think, for the younger kids to be able to see it. But I agree. It's going to come back around, and they're going to be a part of this story again, definitely.
I think so. So I'm looking forward to see where that goes. And also, too, you know, I was thinking about these kids as well. And I keep calling them kids. I guess I should be calling them by their name, Kel and Aayla.
I think they said Aayla. Yeah, Kel and Aayla. But yes, it is spelled E-I, like
Aayla. Yeah. Aayla, Kel and Aayla. Aayla Sakura.
That's right.
Just, you know, I'll just keep going through the alphabet. I'll come up with somebody's name.
Well, you did say at the beginning of this series, you said, I will absolutely mess up more names in this series than ever before, and I feel like I have as well. So,
well, that's why I keep calling Kaz instead of by his full name.
I know. It's easier. That's better. Yes.
So it's easier that way. Eventually, I'll be forced where get in a position where I'll be forced to say it, and I will jack it up. But, you know, for now, Kaz is Kaz.
Yep. That's right.
But I'm curious, because, you know, we got the kid, their children, they're young. We know from The Force Awakens, Finn's like, you know, the First Order is all he's ever known. He was raised as a stormtrooper. It's the only name he ever knew was FN-2187. So maybe after their planet was destroyed, these were kids that were taken because they were measured up to be quality enough to go into the stormtrooper order, the stormtrooper training.
Right. I was wondering about that, yes. So, I don't know, but what's kind of confusing, though, is later on when Phasma and Pyre talk, Commander Pyre says the kids are gone, they're taken care of, and she's like, very good. So maybe it is, yeah. But next best thing, if you couldn't bring them back, make sure they're destroyed and don't talk about what the First Order did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but absolutely. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking about Hux's father, the program, and like you said, FN-2187, what we see and recruiting kids at a young age. And I did wonder about that, if they were going to do that, take these two and bring them into the First Order at a very young age.
It's a very good possibility, you know. I wouldn't put it past them based on their offense. I mean, I expect we'll see more of the story come out as time goes on, especially with the fact that they kept them on the Colossus.
Definitely.
So, what do you? We'll switch gears here a few minutes. We brought up you brought up Captain Doza in your opening remarks, and we do get Doza in this episode. He calls for Kaz to come see him, and of course Nico accompanies him, and they have a conversation about him being in touch with those kids and so on. What do you think Doza's angle is on this, because we see him call the First Order. Is he really trying to cooperate with Phasma and the First Order, or is he just trying to play both sides of the field as much as he can?
Yeah, you know, you and I think talked last week about this in the episode "The High Tower." You get because there he's talking to Major Von Rigg, you know, and the feel that you get is, and I guess maybe it's my hope, is that he's doing this not because he wants to deal with the First Order and he doesn't want to deal with the problems of these pirates. It's just he's trying to, you know, keep the Colossus under his control, not under the First Order, and their hierarchy. And you wonder if ultimately they'll start developing more of this and show more of the relationship with his daughter, and maybe saying, "Hey, you know, I did this because I wanted you to have a place to feel good, to feel valuable, to feel relevant, and that is as an ace pilot." But I do get that feeling, like you said, that he's playing both sides. On the other hand, I kind of feel like he'll end up, you know, making the argument that he did it for all of the people on the platform. You know, you almost feel like it's what is the price? Is it like a red herring, like to throw you off the trail, right? You know, yeah. You know, and I just wonder if it's to make us think, yeah, Captain Doza isn't that he's not a good guy, you know, and really he's not the spy, and it's you know, it's just to throw us off the trail. So that's the sense I get.
It probably is too one of those things where he's there to. It's not this. He is that type of red herring. It struck me odd, of course, him immediately calling Phasma, because it definitely is someone who doesn't seem like she would be easy to get along with, and she seemed quite overjoyed to hear him call. Yeah. It's definitely a different side of Phasma, almost I would have expected a little more smugness from her when he called, but no, it was more of a, "Dude, I'm happy to hear you," type of conversation. "Oh, you called, what's up?"
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, Aaron, you just got me to think about something. You wonder if, you know, because Captain Doza, he says, you know, "Why do you guys have a 20,000 credit bounty on these kids' heads?" And I just thought maybe he's working with Poe, with the Resistance, because if you remember, right, at the end, when Kaz is talking to Eloasti, they have Kaz purposely say, "Oh, yeah, that's right, there are other spies, there are other agents." And, and you wonder if he's one of the, one of the ones that's on their side, and he can, you know, report back or talk with Poe and say, "Hey, you know, I'm talking, you know," not Kaz, he's not talking to Phasma, but Captain Doze is.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool too, that it's really him trying to get more information on their operations.
absolutely. So definitely, it's going to be interesting to see how this. Progresses on with Doza. You know, I think he's part of me, you know, last week I thought he was just a guy with his back against the wall. This week I'm thinking more of, you know, this is a I got more of a disingenuous vibe from him, so I'm really not sure how to peg Doza as of yet, except for he's got a killer stash.
Oh my gosh, he totally does. I do love what you said though. They're really trying to keep us off, on our heels in terms of figuring him out. I agree with you. We don't know what the deal is with him yet, and that's fine. That keeps it interesting. But yes, he does have a killer stash.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So, what we're going to do real quick is we're just going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back with some more Star Wars Resistance. Welcome back, everybody. Aaron, along with David here, and we're going to continue our conversation on The Children from Tejar. So the two kids, David, Kel and...
Ayla.
Ayla. It doesn't look like Ayla to me. And that's my problem, because I see Ayla and I see Ayla Sakura. I hear Ayla and I hear... It's going to be a name I'm going to jack up.
I agree with you, though. It is not spelled... I'm with you, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were agreeing with me that it's going to be a name I'm going to jack up.
Well, no, I'm going to help you. We help each other out. You help me out with the whole Kaz can't pick up the great thing, and I'll help. That's why I'm your wingman. You know, we help you out. I got your back on the whole thing here.
That we do. So, Kel and Ayla are two interesting kids, and you know they're out on their own. We find out, of course, from the show that they're on their own. There's nobody left. Their planet, village, and everything was destroyed. We get a name drop for the first time in the series. We get the name drop of Kylo Ren as the leader of the First Order.
Yeah.
He led the First Order armies, and it was definitely these kids have provided some information at that point to Kaz that he'll be able to use. I mean, these kids actually have gone through quite a bit, but seem to have their stuff put together from what I can tell. From the professional standpoint, just based on what you've seen of these kids and knowing what they've gone through, how do you think they're holding up?
Yeah, a big issue that's come up in my office over the years, and I've chatted with you about this, is the issue of PTSD. You know, this unfortunately is an incredibly common disorder, and it's not just among military men and women. I've worked with many of them where they have seen their friends killed, blown up, or they've had to, shoot and kill themselves. And you never forget those images, unfortunately. But one of the big things I talk about as well is, you know, you don't have to be in a military area or a military zone to have PTSD. If, you know, your life is threatened, I mean, it could even be a car accident. You know, if I was in a car accident, Aaron, and I was almost killed, I could very much have PTSD, even though it has nothing to do with the military. Same thing if I saw an accident. If I was walking and I saw people, they smashed into each other and were almost killed, that could cause PTSD in me. When you think about this situation for Kel and Ayla, they would no doubt have PTSD if you see your entire village destroyed. Later on, Phasma is talking to Pyre about the destruction of the planet and literally the memory of everyone there being gone and how that would be to their advantage to continue their mission, which you and I have said is, you know, to build that war machine. So, again, there is what you and I have talked about. There's the balance. There is... The funny slapstick stuff, the kiddie stuff, which is needed and hopefully will bring a lot of young kids into Star Wars. But this is the more serious stuff. They don't, you know, show them struggling too badly with it. They're explaining it. It's more exposition, kind of telling us more about what the First Order is about. But they would probably in real life be doing a lot worse than what they were doing. They were pretty well put together. Except for some bumps and bruises and maybe that broken leg that Ayla had. But at least, again, from a clinical psychologist perspective, they didn't, you know, and they don't want to, for 6 to 12-year-olds, show a full-blown, post-traumatic stress disorder in the kids. But they would have it if they, you know, any kid would go through that situation.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And we got to keep, even though we are moving into some darker items in the show, it's still a kid show, so there's going to be stuff that is referenced or hinted at that they're not going to come right out and show or say, like the alleged genocide there.
Right.
I mean, these two kids are definitely they're fun. I did enjoy them. I love how they were able to stick up for themselves and they were able to make their escapes and run through the marketplace. And apparently they have a hunger for bacon. The little blue food they steal, and eat, that's puffer pig bacon, according to the episode guide.
Right.
So we have more puffer pigs showing up, and this time, it's more like a side of puffer pig at this point. So.
Oh, man, that was bad. That was so bad.
I know.
So bad. Awesome. I love it.
Yes, yes. But they, I'm here all week. So they are, I like these kids. And I think these are characters that we can see me going forward. What worries me is we're getting a large base of characters that we want to see more of, that we're going to be limited on how we can see them and when we're going to see them. We have initially when the show was announced and we started getting character introductions, Team Fireball was what I was expecting to see going out and doing this mission, the spying. Be perfectly honest, I expected more racing by now. But we're not. We're seeing Tam in a very supporting role. We saw Yeager less in this episode than we have any other episode. He literally just does a cameo pass through in this episode. And these kids, which have very complex personalities, and there's an air of mystery around them, I think is something we're going to see carry on as time goes, because they were well received from what I can see. So it'd be fun to see. And I love the fact that they have no problem standing up for what they want. Like when Kaz is confronting them, they're like, you're lost. I want to help you get home. And they're like, no, we're not lost. Mm-hmm. We ran away. Our village is gone. We're the only survivors. We're it. We're just trying to survive. And they have that, they have a will about them, which I got to see, especially if a connection is made, in the episode. We know Kylo Ren is connected to the First Order. But as more information comes out about him, I think we will see them willing to step up and take more of a role in assisting Kaz, I would hope.
Yeah, and I wanted to say too, I very much enjoyed both of them. I didn't say that when I wanted to initially talk about PTSD there, but I agree with you. Definitely the case. Even before the series started, you and I had talked about the number of characters, and you were right. We focused mostly on Team Fireball in this episode, like you said, just one little line by Yeager. But the other thing is we didn't see any of the aces, and that no flying, none of that, no Hype Faison, no Freya Fenris, Griff Halloran,
no Bucket,
no Bo Keevil. Yeah, so. I think your concern is well founded. How many people are we going to develop here? But I have to admit, again, I'm interested in the characters. I would like to see more of them. And again, we'll let this show breathe and blossom. And I can imagine Justin Ridge will work his magic and really intertwine all this stuff in a pretty neat way. So, but yes, I am in agreement. I do like them. Neat characters, and in survival mode. That's pretty consistent with PTSD. They're in survival mode. So, yeah,
absolutely. And one thing you didn't mention, we did get to see Opie Pitt.
Oh, I have that written down. That was gonna be final thoughts. Our unofficial mascot. We saw an OP Pit sighting. Yes,
OP Pit was sighted on the Colossus, folks. Still cleaning that same floor.
That's right.
All right, perfect. And of course, as we've alluded to throughout this show, through our conversation stuff, the First Order is on the Colossus again. And again, they're chasing Cass. But what's great about this, we get introduced to Commander Pyre finally. We get to see him in the gold armor. I was about to say in the flesh, but we don't see his flesh. It's in the gold armor. And man, what a character. We've seen him before. We haven't seen him before. That was Von Rigg and Phasma. So our first glimpse of Pyre, and he's very commanding. His armor is very similar to that of the First Order Stormtrooper, just a standard Stormtrooper, just gold colored and gold and black. I wonder if that was a nod to Filoni, since he's a Steelers fan.
Good point. Very good point.
You know, Penguins fan. You know, he likes those teams there, so it could be a nod there. But I love that gold and black armor. When he first came on the scene, I was like, man, this is like really, this guy's awesome. He was commanding. He was straightforward. He knew what he was there for and was going to accomplish it. Honestly, he had about as much. This is going to come out probably completely and totally wrong, but he had as much screen time as Phasma did in Force Awakens, and I came out liking him a lot more.
Yeah. Well, his voice and, you know, I guess he reports to her, right? Just like Von Rigg does. But, man, he looks cool. And his blaster, too. Got the gold plating on it. You know, they don't explain, even in Bucket's List, they don't explain why the color gold. You know, I thought they were going to. But maybe they will here in time. They won't give away all the little secrets yet. But I was hoping to know why that color choice. You know, what role does that play in the First Order and stuff? But yes, beyond cool looking.
Absolutely. Why gold? You know, I was thinking about that, trying to figure that out myself. And the only thing I could come up with, I mean, for years, I worked in retail jewelry. I had my own store. I was a store manager, a system manager for years. I mean, for a better part of it, for probably slightly over totaling a decade, I did jewelry sales. And you look at the pecking order coming from the store. When we talk about precious metals, you have your silver, you have your then you have your gold, then of course platinum's even more than that. So I kind of view Phasma as the platinum, and he's the gold, and everybody else is the silver down below. I don't know, just a random thought I had, but dude was awesome. I loved how he carried himself. I loved how he commanded the troops. He definitely took it. They did seem just a wee bit on the clumsy side during the chase. We see him come around the corner, and they're falling. The troopers are falling into people and everything.
Right. That's the slapsticky stuff that, you know, I think might, you know, turn off some Star Wars fans. You know. You know, because we talked about it last week, how they were very much like original trilogy stormtroopers and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But, you know, they seemed to shoot better in The Force Awakens. But I think, again, we just got to do a little suspension of disbelief, you know, and like you said, just have a little fun with it. You got to have a chase. So if they're super good, then there would be no chase.
Exactly. And they do a good job at that. And it's thoroughly enjoyable. I loved Pyre, and I can't wait to see where he goes from there.
Definitely.
So we want to wrap up the discussion. Of course, we have the whole discussion. We've alluded to it a couple times through the episode. The Pyre and Phasma discussion at the end of the episode. That probably gave us more of a glimpse into the working of the First Order. than we had before. Let's play that conversation real quick. Hold on.
Pyle, report.
Captain Phasma, mission accomplished. The children are no more.
Excellent. Now the name Tehar will fade from memory. Our plans will remain safely out of the reach of the Resistance. You've done well, Commander Pyle. Return to base.
Tehar will fade into the memory.
Yes. That's why my opening initial thought was, is did we go a little dark here? And again, I don't think kids will pick up on that, but I picked up on that immediately, and that's the destruction of an entire people group. That's genocide, and there's the First Order for you. We'll destroy all of you. We don't want anybody to know it. The Resistance, we don't want them to know it. We don't want the New Republic to know it. And we're going to, you know, use this planet to our advantage and create our war machine. But there's the serious part that Star Wars fans need to listen to. And here's where you start to fill in from Return of the Jedi to The Force Awakens. Here you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it is. It's quite this is where the pieces start to come together. We know why Leia was so adamant that these guys need to be dealt with. And why the First Order is so bad. And it's coming out of stories like this that give us more of their background. And I hope to see a lot more of this as it goes on.
I think we will. We've got a lot of episodes left this season. Next year, this is really cool. Last week and this week are just I'm loving this.
Oh, I am too. It's been it's been very energetic, very refreshing to have these episodes come out and go the way they are. So it's almost like a breath of fresh air
that
the show was needing. Because there were a lot of people getting down on the show. There's still a lot of people getting down on the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely something that this is. They're obviously working hard to change at this point.
I think a lot of people are going to jump on. You know, some people do after a season. Some people do after two seasons. I really think people will get on and check this out because it will help them to understand what's been happening, you know, in the 30 years in between, you know, episodes 6 and 7. So they will. Star Wars fans will. They'll jump on. They want to know. They want to know the story like you and me.
Oh, no, absolutely. And we are going to get a lot more story to go. It's going to be great. One thing we haven't talked about yet, and this is going to tie right in to your David's Alien Corner, so we'll just go ahead and have David's Alien Corner right now to close up our discussion. The Ninja Turtles.
Absolutely. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a.k.a. the Chelidae, a.k.a. the Shell Folk. As soon as I saw them, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've got some Alien Corner material here. Really cool looking. Males with the, hair on their chins. Females don't have it. And so it was really neat to see them and the role that they're playing, this critical, critical role and helping Kaz a lot. You know, also part of the Creature Corner this week, I wanted to throw this out there. When you and I, or, you know, anybody who watched the episode, when Commander Pyre and his crew land on the Colossus, they're kind of shaking down this guy who is a purple alien. And I put a little note, you know, who is the purple guy? I don't think list his name. Maybe they do, but we don't know what he is creature-wise. And I just didn't know if any of our listeners happen to know what he is. But if you know, you remember him, I think, Aaron. It's again when Kel and Ayla are trying to run. You know, they turn around from talking to that guy. But that guy, I'm curious about. The other one is the spice vendor. Remember when they get the spice for her leg?
Yeah.
That vendor is an alien, but I do not know what she is. And there's a few other aliens. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but they're just tucked away in the back reaches, and they're not mentioned. They don't talk, but you can tell they're not any of the 22 different species we've covered up to last week. And I didn't even cover or really count, you know, puffer pigs, right, last week, right? Sure. You know, right? And I didn't count, you know, the Max Rebo Ortolan, didn't, you know, do that. So there's a lot here, and there's more creatures than I even have listed. But they've kind of, you know, told us over time. So I think in time they'll tell us who that is, as well as some of these other ones. But hopefully in these weeks to come they'll keep throwing some out there. But there's, you know, something every week, you know.
Oh, there definitely is. And the shell folk, I don't know about you, but I was during the episode, there's a scene where Niku gets a call from them they're letting Niku know they got the kids. And Niku's like trying to get the message from him. He's like, "We found the child, Ren. Children. They found the children."
Exactly.
And the whole thing, during that scene, what I kept going back to, did you ever see Zootopia?
I did, yes.
The sloth at the DMV?
That's what I was thinking about when I saw these characters, yes.
that is exactly, during that conversation, that's exactly what I went to. And I was like, this is great. I loved it. Being that these guys are the maintenance aliens, I'm sure we'll see a lot of them going forward. And, of course, as David mentioned, we got some unknown aliens. So if anybody out there listening can identify these aliens and want to contribute to our running alien list, let us know. So we had 22, and now we have, what, 3 unknown?
23 now. Well, the Chelidae, but the
Chelidae bring it up to 23, but then we got two others that are unknown, or three that are unknown?
Well, we've got really three. I wrote down the three. One was behind Kaz before they went and they showed the Rodian and the Godel talking about the 20,000 credit reward. We've named them before, Rodians and Godels. But there is another little alien behind Kaz when he's talking to Aunt Z. There is the spice vendor. Mm-hmm. There's the purple guy. You know, those are the three. But the ones that are most notable are who's the purple guy and the spice vendor. What is she? Those are kind of like, if any of our listeners know, please you know, tweet it at Resist Reactions, you know. Mm-hmm. And let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Tweet us. Let us know. I can go ahead and tell you the big purple guy is not Barney, and right. It's not the hamburger. It's not the not Hamburglar. I just blinked on his name. I see him as plain as day.
Oh my gosh, me too. What is his name?
I think we're dating ourselves, David.
Oh my gosh, I know. That we saw those commercials. Oh, yeah.
It's not even that we saw those commercials. Yeah. Oh, that's going to bug me now. Google's a wonderful thing, though.
Well, while you do that...
Guy from McDonald's. And that was like the first thing that popped up. Grimace.
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 Holy pop culture trivia. Wow.
There's another pop culture trivia, because you just went all Batman on us.
I know, yeah.
This is so much fun.
You know, there is another alien, actually, and here's a little detail. In Bucket's list, they talked about there's 8 different little trivia things in Bucket's list this week, and one was called Color-Coded Food Looks Interesting, mm-hmm. And they mentioned there's blue squid there. I had a hard time seeing where that is, but that's another alien creature, technically, that's in there. Obviously, they have the puffer pig bacon, too. They don't have the puffer pig's you know, animated yet in it. So again, there's more than 23, but the blue squid and the puffer pig weren't alive there. So again, we won't count them yet. So we're at 23. We would be at 25 if we knew Purple Guy and the Spice Vendor, but anyways, there you go.
Exactly. So we're 23 identified and 2 unidentified. We're just positive it's not Grimace or Barney. So
right.
If you can help us out, and you can help us identify some unidentifiable creatures, let us know at Resist Reactions. Now, with that, real quick, we're going to... I want to go ahead and hit up an email that we got, because we did get some emails about the show. So I want to go ahead and hit on those before we go into our final thoughts there, okay?
All right. Do we have a Niku saying of the week?
You're right. We do have a Niku saying of the week. We do have a Niku saying of the week. Niku has had a lot to say this week. And it was a tough decision. I almost forgot about Niku. Thank you. It was a tough choice. I had three pulled out that I'm like, you know, I could do any of these, and they would be perfect. So I'll play the honorable mentions, and then we will go. I'll play the winner. Okay.
Nice.
Right, here's the first of the honorable mentions.
I only have two hands, Tam. Although I often wish I had a third.
Don't we all?
Yes.
All right. This was probably the closest for the tie there. I mean, this was, it was toss up in the air at this point for between this one and the one that won. This is our other runner up.
This is your plan, Kaz? We all plunge together into the icy waters of bodily destruction and certain death?
Oh, yes, Niku. Niku, Niku, Niku. But ultimately, here's what won.
But, Kaz, you are not a bounty hunter. I have seen bounty hunters, and you are definitely not one of them.
I was hoping you'd do that one. I really like that. Just cutting Kaz down to size.
Just cutting him down, you know. Not intentionally. He's just, you know, being honest. Because, you know, Kaz is not a bounty hunter. Doesn't have... Not somebody I would have pegged as a bounty hunter either, but hey, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, emails.
All right.
We got a message. This one was sent via Twitter, DM, from Cameron Ramos. His handle, @CamRamos95. Check him out. He actually just did a great write-up reviewing the recent Smuggler's Bounty Box for Coffee with Kenobi. So, and you can see that blog on our website. So go read that and show him some love. But he wrote us a nice long message. So let me read this for you real quick. Hey guys, wow. Now that was an episode of Star Wars Resistance that I have been waiting for. While I enjoyed the first four episodes of the show, the children from Tehar blew them all out of the water. It was an excellent episode, and now that our characters have been all established, I'm excited that we are going to get down to the nitty-gritty of Kaz's mission to spy on the First Order. I love the little bit of Commander Pyre that we got to see in this episode, and I'm excited to see more of him in the future. I'm curious about your thoughts on the two aspects I found interesting about the episode. What mission do you think Poe was on that he couldn't talk to Kaz? My guess was that he was getting the piece of map that will help the Resistance find Luke, but maybe it's too soon for the events of The Force Awakens, for that to happen right now. Finally, what do you think about Phasma in this episode? Was it me, or was it just me? But I thought she sounded a little too cheerful to be talking to Captain Doza. I'll second that. I want a Phasma that is tough and has an edge to her, like the movies. Let me start that over again. I want a Phasma that is tough and has an edge to her, like in the movies and in the novel written by Delilah Dawson. But she just seemed a bit off to me with the tone of her voice. And maybe, again, it was just me, but I need to watch the episode again and again to double check. Sorry this was long, but keep up the great work. Thanks, gents. Thank you, Cameron. I think we, from based on our discussion, we had that same agreement about Phasma. Definitely we're seeing her more in use in the episode. And she's probably had more screen time total in Resistance than she's had in the two movies combined. But so we're seeing more growth in her. But I expect to see a lot more of her. Yeah, I felt she was a little overly cheerful. I think we can agree with that. David, do you agree?
Yeah. I do wonder, like we said, we had hoped that they would show more of her and we'd learn more about her. But maybe this is a side of her, a legitimate side that Star Wars writers are wanting to show. But yes, it doesn't seem to fit, but let's see how this plays out. I love Gwendolyn Christie's voice. I've said it, I've always said it, in both movies. This felt like she was so underutilized, but being able to hear her voice, I really love hearing it. But I think, you know, this, I don't know, like we said, this Captain Doza Phasma thing, this, They're kind of confusing me here. That'll keep me coming back for more to see how this plays out. But yes, I agree with you and Cameron on that. A little too cheerful at this point, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. As for the what mission the Poe is on, you know, that's a good question. I don't think he's going after the map just yet. He could be getting intel that would lead him to Loris Santeca. But I don't think we're still too far away for it to be him going to Jakku to meet Lord Santeca. Your thoughts, David?
Yeah, I wonder if some of this is being was shown in the Poe comic. Maybe it'll, you know, they'll give that tie-in, that crossover. Maybe some of the stuff that Poe did before, you know, heading to Jakku to meet Lord Santeca, like you said. I have not been able to look at all of the Poe Dameron comic, but I've been talking to you. I am getting into the comics more. I'm definitely into the Darth Vader one right now and loving it. But now I got to get the Poe ones. You see, I just can't tell my wife, but now I got to get those, and maybe that'll tell us the mission he was on. But that's a really cool question by Cameron. I want to know that too.
Yeah, a great question from Cameron. I appreciate you writing, Cameron. And of course, we got two other emails, messages here. First one, of course, reads, "Hello, David and Aaron." Corporal Flux writing in again to this Resistance Sympathizing podcast. "You two are lucky I listen each week." Yes, we are. Thank you for listening. I must say I was not pleased last week with the portrayal of my First Order stormtroopers. This week was not better. It's no better. I'm not only displeased with how the stormtroopers were portrayed, but also at the poor job that Commander Pyre did in trying to track down the children of Tehar. Sacrilege, I say. Lucasfilm will be receiving a call from me.
Well, he's pretty bent out of shape. I get a sense that Corporal Flux was upset that that Commander Pyre and the First Order troopers were fooled by those turtles slowing down
they slow down their body signs and pulses and all that and makes them think they're dying.
Exactly. But at the same time, you know what I thought about with that, Aaron?
What'd you?
I was thinking about it. The thing that Lucas always got at was, you know, nature defeating technology. You know, and that I really thought about the Ewoks and Return of the Jedi with that particular thing, with the turtles helping, you know, the shell folk helping these two children from Tehar. It really reminded me of nature, again, defeating technology like they did. So I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, that definitely has been a running theme through there with the either whether it's episode one with the Gungans versus the droid army or whether it's the Ewoks versus the Empire. There's always that nature versus technology theme in there. So
yeah.
Definitely I enjoyed how that worked out. I think you're being a little too hard on Pyre, but hey, you know.
I do too. Corporal Flux, he's got some high standards, you know.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how the corporal's upset with a commander, but hey, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, the ranking seems a little out of order for me, but hey, you know, I just work here.
Right, that's right.
So the last email we got, of course, is says, okay, so I, Willard Tarkanis, am feeling better about the whole situation between Corporal Flux and myself. Why? The answer is that everyone can see the incompetence of Commander Pyre and his two First Order stormtroopers. My OT stormtroopers, Willif Tarkin's stormtroopers, never would have been tricked by the Turtles. Clearly, Corporal Flux and his underlings are incompetent. I rest my case. Tarkanis out.
Well, we got a brewing rivalry going here. Like I said, I don't know that other podcasts deal with this, but we're pretty unique here at Resist Reactions, at Resistance Reactions. But we deal with these two guys every week, and that's why we need other people to write in and help save us from just these two and their commentaries, right, Aaron?
That's right, that's right. Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm just honestly glad they haven't called me out for agreeing with Tarkanis yet, so. Maybe that's the water under the bridge there. So, well, with that, this wraps up our discussion on the Children of Tehar. And, David, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, one is, you know, I love that we're learning more about the First Order. Clearly, we hear about the Unknown Regions here. This is what we've been seeing in other materials, the Aftermath series. Some Shattered Empire, you know, we've got these remnants out there. Snoke was somewhere out there. We don't have that full story about him being out there and developing this, but I love hearing about that. Obviously you and I've talked about Commander Pyre, within the First Order and the whole crew there. Neat to see him. And of course it sounds like they're, you know, clearly full-fledged, full speed ahead, I should say, building the war machine that we end up seeing in The Force Awakens. You know what I just thought about? Starkiller Base. Oh my gosh. Could Tehar have been destroyed and created Starkiller Base? Oh my gosh. That just came to me. I don't know. Mm. Whoa. Mm. Okay. I might have just blown my own mind. Okay. I just was thinking about it as I was talking to you about that. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because I'm talking about building a war machine. But, you know, even in that clip when we see Hux talking to all the troops in The Force Awakens, we see all the AT-ATs and we see all the troops and we see TIEs and all that. That would be interesting. That would be interesting if Tehar was the planet that was destroyed. Oh my gosh. Okay. We just got real deep there, brother. Okay. So that's, you know, one of the things. Learning more about the Resistance. I didn't know Eloasti spoke English. She doesn't, you know, none of the Abanettos do in the movies. But it was cool to hear there's more agents, more spies. Kaz says that out loud. Kaz does convey that the whole planet was destroyed, and he does tell Eloasti about Kylo Ren, and it was neat to hear Eloasti say that General Organa will want to know about that. Obviously, one of my final thoughts was the OP Pit sighting. Our unofficial mascot was in this episode. And then I thought it was really neat that Frank Welker did the voice of the Shell Folk. Frank Welker is a legend in voice acting. I think he worked on some of the original Scooby-Doo stuff. I know that he's done the voice of Megatron in all of the, you know, Transformers cartoons and even in the movies to a certain degree. But he's just a legend. And when you hear, like, some of the people you and I have listened to for a long time, like Jim Cummings and D. Bradley Baker and James Arnold Taylor, all of them, you know, have talked about, you know, being in awe of Frank Welker. So I thought it was pretty neat that they had him in there. Also, Matt Wood did Ello Asti. That was kind of cool that he's in there, not just General Grievous and the Battle Droid. So just some of my thoughts. Like I've said in many of these, I could go on and on, but you'd think with a half-hour show, not even a half-hour, 22-minute show, you wouldn't have a lot to talk about. But, boy, they're packing it in. So those are just some of my final thoughts.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah. You know, this was, you know, the episode, I think Cameron said best, this was the episode that we needed. It was the episode that we wanted. It was the episode that we wanted. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. It led everything that we needed. We had compassion for the kids. We had action with the First Order. We had Tam and Kaz going at it like brother and sister. She even nailed him with a wrench upside the head as he's running away. So, you know, it was a lot of, well, it was a lot of fun in this episode. It was very entertaining. It brought us to a whole new level of depth to this show. And I'm curious to see what they do with it next, where they take it from here with the next episode, because what you've set out a line, they've drawn a line in the sand, and now it's time to see them what they do with it when it comes to the depth and darkness of the show. So yeah, I think we will see more. I want to see more. I loved Commander Pyre. I think he was awesome. I think he did a great job working the show. I love the fact that for Commander Pyre, he was voiced by Liam McIntyre from Spartacus fame. That was absolutely awesome. And of course, he's on Twitter and has been tweeting with us, which has been great. So I really look forward to see where he's going in the future. Phasma, of course, as well. I want to see more of him interacting with Phasma and bringing Von Reg back into it. I'm excited to see where this show's going, because it's starting to they've got the engine put together, and it's starting, the cylinders are starting to fire, and we're about to just be off down the street in the dune buggy, just having a blast. So,
yeah,
it is great to see where it's going. So, with of course, with that, we usually go through grade our episodes as well. You know, if you're new to the show, we grade them just like if you would have gotten a grade in school, with an A, a B, a C, a D, or an F. How would you grade this episode, David?
Yeah, I see it consistent with the last one. I gave an A last week to the Hightower because of all that was involved and the plot thickening and more revealed about, you know, the First Order and, you know, Major Von Reg. Same thing with this. We get to see Commander Pyre more, just like we saw, like I said, Major Von Reg last week. The plot continues to thicken with Captain Doza. We're getting more information about the First Order being out in the unknown regions. We had Kylo Ren mentioned in this. I see it very equivalent with last week's, really tying in very nicely and continuing that story from last week. And so, very solid A for me.
Ditto.
Okay.
No. Great. It was a great episode. You hit the nail on the head, as you always do. I would have put it right on par with last week's episode, if not just a little bit better, because we got Pyre. So, again, I would give her an A for this episode, because it was firing all cylinders, and when it was over, I wanted to start it all over again. there have of the six episodes, since they're counting the first episode as two, of the six, there's only been two that I've wanted to do that for, and that's been the last two. So great job, great episode of Resistance, the Children of Children from Tejar. Great episode. So, and with that, that wraps everything up. So,
but how were we going to communicate at any given moment, Kaz?
Well, to communicate with us, you can hit us up on Twitter at Resist Reactions. We are also on Facebook. Just search Resistance Reactions there on Facebook. We post there as well. And of course, you can always email us, resistancereactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. David, if they want to communicate with you, how would Niku or the listeners go about doing that?
Definitely. At Twitter, I am at David_Motters. That's always been the same. The other one is email, dmotters@coffeewithkenobi.com. And, of course, like you mentioned, Aaron, I'm over there at Resist Reactions with you and, you know, just kind of bouncing off your stuff and posting there and having a lot of fun seeing, you know, all the people who, you know, tweet in there and who are looking at that. So it's fun to be over there on Resist Reactions as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Definitely. Great to be there. I try to update there as much as I possibly can throughout the day. You can also find me personally on my personal Twitter, TAHarris121079, or of course email aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. Let's talk it out. Tell us what you thought about the Children of Tejar and what you've thought of the show so far. Let us know, and definitely we can. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and who knows, we could possibly even read them on the show as well. So, definitely a great episode, great discussion. David, my friend, it's awesome as always.
Awesome to be with you, buddy, all the time. I'll always help you out as your wingman.
Hoorah! So. With that, we thank everybody for listening. Thank you for giving us a hand. If you want to listen to more Star Wars and get as much news as you can between episodes, check out coffeewithkenobi.com. There you'll find all the latest news and the best blogs around. So check that out. You can also like and subscribe our family of podcasts as well. Our flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z, is always available and has their weekly shows. Comics with Kenobi with Matt and Jeff. Great job reviewing and going over upcoming comic book series, issues and series. Of course, Lattes with Leia is an awesome show as well with Amy and Amy Ratcliffe and Dr. Andrea. Definitely check those out. Of course, Amy just had her book. Her book was released, wasn't it? The Women of Star Wars?
Yeah, I think it was October 31st.
October 31st. So her book just came out. So if you are like the women in Star Wars, the characters in Star Wars, check that out. It's an awesome book she wrote. Beautiful illustrations. Show her some love. Pick that up. Then, of course, Legends Library with Randy and Luke. So if you like the expanded universe or what's now the Legends line, check them out because they do an awesome job going through and reviewing all of those books. But until next time, my friends, David, remember, this is the Resistance podcast you're looking for. We'll be right back.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.